Dismiss the children to their classes. And as they go, Lord Jesus, I pray your blessing upon these children, that they will grow in their faith and understanding of your love for them, and that they would be your witnesses to the world. Amen. And now I invite you to please pray with me and for me. Lord God, take my words and speak through them. Take our hearts and speak to them. Holy Spirit, bring conviction to our hearts through your living word and initiate healing and transformation in our lives. All for the glory of your great name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, this is the seventh and the final week of our series on the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to be focusing on our reading from Numbers chapter 11. So if you have your leaflet, have that open to the Numbers passage. If you have a Bible, or if you're at home, you have a Bible handy, turn to Numbers chapter 11 to see a little bit more of the context. But before we dig into the scriptures, I want to together remember what happened on March 8th here in this sanctuary. On Sunday, March 8th of this year, before the coronavirus radically impacted our daily lives, we celebrated an anniversary during our Sunday worship. It was the 10th anniversary of me being installed as rector, the 10th anniversary of me becoming your spiritual leader. You, my church family, prayed for me, giving thanks for the previous 10 years and asking for the Lord's guidance and blessing on the upcoming year and years. 4 days later, I just put this together this week, 4 days after that celebration of my anniversary on Thursday, March 12th, the spreading pandemic took a hold of our lives, halting the NBA season first. Then the Players' Championship was canceled that Thursday afternoon. Then lots of things were canceled, including at-home school, in-person schooling in the schools. All the children were moved to home. And then perhaps most impactful to all of our lives, the toilet paper apocalypse. We have to laugh because it's so hard to remember. Sunday, March 15th, 7 days after we celebrated my 10th anniversary, was our first online service on Facebook Live. Here we are, 8 months later. It's November 15th, exactly 8 months. And we're still living in the midst of this abnormal reality. It's been a very challenging season, I know, for all of you, with increased fear and anxiety and stress and frustration and grief and loss, lots of emotions, including anger. It's been a difficult season for me as well. In the beginning, with things changing day by day and week by week, I found myself working 7 days a week. I never really got a break because as soon as we got a handle on something, or I thought we had a handle on something, things would change. The challenge to remain connected with each one of you. The challenge to create ways for you to remain connected with me and to each other absorbed all of my time and energy. And my head was so loud with the details, I wasn't sleeping. I couldn't stop. I was suffering from the mental stress of the anxiety and the fear and the frustration, wondering what would happen or what hadn't I done. Wasn't at all how I envisioned the next year of me serving as your rector looked like. I'm sure it wasn't what you all pictured on that Sunday either. Here we are 8 months later, all dealing with the same emotions. I can so relate to Moses as he's presented in this passage from Numbers 11, and that's why I chose to preach on it this morning. We began our reading with verse 14 of Numbers chapter 11. Where Moses said, I am not able to carry all this people alone. The burden is too heavy for me. Moses expresses to God that he is overwhelmed. It's too heavy, Lord, he cries out. As I look back on March and April 2020, I so relate to Moses' exasperation. I'm going to focus today on two things. Moses' request, and then God's answer. And then we'll discuss what that means for you. If you have a Bible open to Numbers 11, you can look at the beginning of the chapter and see the context. As Moses is leading God's people, they begin to complain to him and complain to the Lord. Now, in the Jewish Study Bible, the translation of the Hebrew there is they were bitterly complaining. The people were in a very difficult season. Their lives had been radically changed by the Lord's miraculous deliverance of them from slavery. They had left Egypt and everything that they had known before, and they literally were in uncharted territory because they were in the wilderness. We can all relate to that a little bit in the midst of this season. We lost a lot. We're in uncharted territory. God's people are in the wilderness. They're following the Lord. He's guiding them in a cloud by day and in fire by night. They are following the Lord. They have all that they need. They miraculously, every day, when they need it, receive manna, bread from heaven. And yet, they complain to the Lord. While they have what they need, they don't have what they want. They reject the Lord's provision of manna, and they want meat. And in doing so, they say, "Weren't we better off back in Egypt?" In a strong sense there, they reject God, not just his provision. They reject God and his salvation. Moses wasn't known for his patience and gentle demeanor. He responds to the complaints of the people crying out to him by crying out to God, "God, this is too much." And here we see Moses' request as he's completely overwhelmed. Again, 14 and then verse 15 together. "I am not able to carry all this people alone. The burden is too heavy for me. If you, God, will treat me like this, kill me at once if I found favor in your sight, that I may not see my wretchedness or my failure." Now, it may sound there that Moses has given up. Kill me at once. But that's not the case. With no idea what to do, Moses doesn't give up. He looks up. He looks to his Lord, his master. He looks up to his leader with a request. "I can't handle this. I'm going to fail. I can't do this. I need your help, even if it means taking my life." Moses humbly acknowledges before the Lord he can't do it, and he turns to the Lord for help. Contrast that with the people griping against the Lord for what they wanted. He turns to the Lord for what he needs, what he doesn't have. So that's Moses' request. And we turn now to God's response. The Lord answers Moses. I'm going to read verses 16 and 17 if you want to follow along. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Gather for me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tent of meeting, and let them take their stand there with you. And I will come down and talk with you there. And I will take some of the spirit that is on you and put it on them, that they shall bear the burden of the people with you, so that you may not bear it yourself alone.'" The Lord answers, telling Moses to gather 70 of Israel's leaders, not all of them. Moses has to choose from Israel's leaders, 70. And then bring them to the tent of meeting. Now recall, the tent of meeting is the most holy place where God met face to face with Moses, where God spoke to Moses. And when God spoke to Moses, his face would shine as he would come out. This was a sacred place. And God says, bring those 70 with you to the tent of meeting. And then God says, I will take some of the Spirit that is on you and put it on them so that you will not be alone. They will be empowered to stand with you and carry the burden with you. So the Lord's response isn't to give Moses what he thinks he needs. Help me to do this, Lord. He instead spreads the burden onto 70 other leaders. He gives to others what Moses already has, pouring out God's Spirit upon them so they can stand with Moses, so that it's not his burden alone. Until that point, Moses was the only member of God's people with God's Spirit on him. He was the man. He was the leader, the one that talked to God. Now, 70 others are marked by God's Spirit as leaders. While that sounds like a great thing to Moses, it caused problems for Moses' closest helper, Joshua. Up to that point, it was just Moses and his assistant, Joshua. They were the team. Joshua doesn't like the fact that others are now anointed with God's Spirit, elevated to be leaders. And he brings his concern to Moses. Moses, when two more come forward and are prophesying in the camp, make this stop. Look at verse 29. Look at how Moses responds. But Moses said to Joshua, are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his Spirit on them. Look at how Moses responds in the face of Joshua's envy and jealousy. He wishes that rather than fewer share God's Spirit, that the Lord would put his Spirit on all of God's people. And today, with the entirety of Scripture before us, we see that his wish was prophetic. On the day of Pentecost, his wish became a reality. God's Holy Spirit was poured out that day upon all of God's people, upon all who believe in Jesus, upon all who, by faith in Jesus, were adopted into God's family to become his people. In salvation, they receive the Holy Spirit. We've talked about that in the midst of our study. So all who have humbled themselves before Jesus, receiving his gift of restoration, are now filled with his Holy Spirit, exactly what Moses wished would happen. If you are a follower of Jesus, in Christ, you are filled with the same Spirit that filled and guided Moses and the 70 elders that stood with Moses. Now, in past weeks, as we've been discussing the Holy Spirit, we've been looking at the passage from 1 Corinthians. This is Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth. Again, this morning, we heard a portion of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where we were reminded, to each, which is to every one of you, is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, not for your own benefit, but for the common good. You're filled with the Holy Spirit for the good of the church and for the good of those that don't yet know Jesus or who have lost their faith. Now, returning to my story of the early days of the coronavirus, initially, I was trying to fix everything. And I'm a little like Moses. I don't delegate or share well. I felt responsible to fix every problem, to reach every person, to prepare for and handle every potential situation, and I knew I was failing. I couldn't do all of that. I couldn't do it on my own, and I was suffering as I tried. And in the midst of my struggle, one of you heard the Lord's voice. And I'm forever grateful to Joel. Joel was driving by, and he thought, the Lord was prompting him to come by the church. And when he came to the door of the church, I answered the door. I didn't expect to see anybody out there. I answered the door literally with, what are you doing here? I was saying, what do you want? And he said, I felt like the Lord wanted me to come by so I could pray for you. so that he could pray for me. Then I wept. Joel has the Holy Spirit, and he heard, and he listened. And that was a game changer for me. I couldn't do it on my own. I was suffering as I tried. But not just Joel, but many leaders stepped forward in that month of May, June, July, August. Leaders who were full of the same spirit that fills me, and they fulfilled the same purpose that the 70 elders did to Moses. When I hit my bottom, the Lord changed how Redeemer functions because others stepped into the gap with me, full of God's Spirit. Redeemer's ministry team has been invaluable. Redeemer's vestry stepped up. Many lay leaders have stepped up and, in a sense, rescued me from a burden that I couldn't carry on my own, that I wasn't intended to carry on my own. And I praise the Lord for the leadership that stepped forward in that season and continues to step forward. So I've talked about Moses' request. I've talked about God's response to Moses. And I close with what this means for you. And you may already be connecting some of the dots. With Moses, the outpouring of God's Spirit for leadership and in ministry, it was limited to Moses and then limited to Moses and the 70. But that's not the case today. Today in God's church, you all in Christ are filled with that same Spirit. He is with you and he lives in you. So you're all integral to God's mission in and through his church and this part of his body, the Church of Redeemer. You're all members of the body. And again, going back to Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, Paul made it clear, there are many members. You are not all the same, yet you are all one body. You're all members and therefore important to the Lord's work here, just as a hand and an eye are important for the functioning of the body. Our reading from 1 Corinthians makes two things clear. We will not all be the same. We are different parts. And you are all important to the functioning of the body. Think of a body missing a hand, or missing a foot, or missing an eye, or missing an ear. That body is incomplete. It experiences a condition that markedly restricts its ability to function in the way it was intended. If you're a member of this body and you're not listening for God's voice, you're following your own voice, you're doing your own thing, then the body is incomplete. It's unable to function as God intended this part of the body to function. Now, it's not to say that me or any one of us is all that in a bag of chips. The point is that each of you is crucial and important as a member of his body and necessary for Redeemer to survive and to thrive and to properly function. Today, I want you to hear that you are integral to God's work at Redeemer if you're a member. And if God's calling you to be a member, then he's calling you to be an integral part, a member of the body. I'm also here to say that I need every one of you. I need you to stay connected to Jesus first. I need you then to listen to the Holy Spirit that lives in you. And I need you to follow his leadership as you live, participating and serving and giving of your time, talent, and treasure to this part of his body. Because the body cannot function properly unless all of the members are present and functioning together. This isn't my idea. This is God's purpose for you as members of his body. Redeemer will not survive. It will not thrive without every member participating and growing and functioning and ministering to one another as Joel did to me. Listening for God's voice and then sometimes doing the unexpected or just doing what's next. God has given each of you gifts and talents that he desires to use in his body here for his kingdom and his glory. Remember Numbers chapter 11. I hope that you will read that this week, the whole chapter, perhaps a few times, because I want you to reflect this week on the two different postures. First, the posture of the people who are grumbling and complaining because they didn't have what they wanted. Is that how you're responding to God? Is that how you cry out to him when you're at the end? Or the posture of Moses, who when he was at the end, cried out, God, help me. I trust you and I will listen and I will receive what you give me. As God has brought change to me, as God has brought change to Redeemer and the leadership and how we function through this coronavirus season, I pray he will likewise bring redemption and transformation and change to each of your lives, that we will all together function in a way we never have as a body, for the glory of his name, for his kingdom purposes here, and his kingdom purposes in Jacksonville to the ends of the earth. He is Lord. We can trust him. And may this be so for the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.